Last Word on Today FM.
Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent, is with us for our weekly Money Spot. Only last week we were talking about personal health insurance, or private health insurance, I should say, and well over 2 million people having it in the country. But what are they getting? Because, Charlie, you've been writing today about in the Irish Independent about how they're paying more for less.
Yeah, they're paying more. That's certainly, we know that. I mean, premiums are up.
That's clear and obvious.
Yeah, up to nearly 26%. And that was last year, according to the regulator. In this year alone, there's been increases. Again, you know, all the big insurers have had multiple increases. VHI, Healthcare, Laya Healthcare, Irish Life.
They think the average is about 12%, but some plans have gone up by 25%.
26%, yeah. A Level Health, even the new player, got in on the act with increases. Some of those only just coming through now. But you're getting less for paying more, what we call in terms of grocery prices, shrinkflation, because the health insurers are cutting back on the benefits on the plans. They'll now require you to cover more of the cost of a claim yourself if you have to make a claim.
The excess as such, is it?
It's called the excess, yeah. That's the amount you pay when you make a claim. Also, the refunds you get on day-to-day medical GP visits, consultants visits, alternative practitioner visits, those refunds are being reduced. There's monetary caps on those, and they're giving you less.
Sometimes the reasons you get are quite arbitrary. You use their apps or whatever, and you make a claim that you might have had to go to a specialist, or a family member who's covered under your plan goes to a specialist, and then you find you get maybe like 10% of the cost.
Yeah, a lot of people discovering that these things are written in ways that and designed in ways that give you very little back. You have the impression you're getting maybe 50% back on some of these, but you're not anymore. So look, at VHI started this about a year ago, last May, and you know, they were back in again recently with increases in the outpatient excess, the amount you have to pay up when you have an outpatient procedure done, and monetary caps on refunds for GPs, consultants, visits. Laya, they've increased the excess on private hospital visits on most plans. Irish Life have limited the outpatient refunds. There's monetary caps on those. And then Level Health, their big plan, their more expensive plan, Plan D, they call it. There's a €1,000 co-payment required on an orthopaedic procedure. In other words, hip, knee or shoulder.
But surely that would put it beyond the reach of many people. I mean, a lot of people go to literally the pin of their collar to actually get the money together for the monthly payments, which are significant out of their after-tax income. And they don't have then additional money put aside as savings to part fund operations that they think would have been covered by the private health insurance that they've paid for.
No, you're absolutely right here, Matt. You know, people are paying huge amounts of money. You know, often €1,700, the average premium, very, very high. And then, you know, most of them as well, bringing in, for example, shortfalls on orthopaedic procedures. For example, you know, you have a shoulder problem that needs to be sorted out. It used to be 20% shortfall, it's now 40%. So in other words, supposing you had a hip operation that cost €15,000, you'll have to pay an extra €6,000.
So they'd only cover €9,000 and you have to pay six, despite the fact you've already paid health insurance on a plan where you expect to have operations like that covered.
Exactly, Matt. And you know what the problem here is? Most people don't even realise this, particularly older people who are very reluctant to move plans. So this is quite... It's quite a sinister development, really. And I think there's far more that should be done here by the regulator.
I was just going to ask, do we have a regulator?
We do.
So who does the regulator represent?
There's the Health Insurance Authority, it's called. Now, I think they need to be getting on to the health insurers and saying to them, look, you have 338 plans. It's very complicated. It's very expensive. Now you're reducing the benefits. So in other words, people are paying more. They're getting less. It's confusing as it is. You need to. They do. To be fair, when they write to you for when your plan has been renewed, they will tell you we're changing some of the benefits. But you will get reams of documents, and if it's been emailed, who is going through that? I think they need to flag this on the front of the letter that they're sending you at renewal time in a big black box on the front of the letter, saying, "Look at." We are now requiring you to pay X if you make a claim, or the refund you get is far less. This needs to be highlighted.
But sorry, the cover you purchase is not covering 100% of the benefits.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's it.
It's
you're not. You might get, you're only going to get 80%, or you're purchasing 80% or 60% cover.
Yeah.
That's basically it. It's a, bit,
it's a
like,
bit of a swindle, Matt. Let's just be blunt about it here. It's a bit of a swindle. You're being asked to pay more, and you are actually getting less, and this has not been emphasised enough. And it took,
an analysis
by Dermot Good of Total Health Cover to expose this. You know, I asked him to look at this because it's just, that's just not out there. People don't realise it. And this is where the Health Insurance Authority should be coming to the fore saying, hold on here a minute here. This is anti-consumer. This is not helping consumers.
But is that the nature of insurance? Like, for example, we were talking to your colleague Adrian Weckler about ID and phones and tablets. But say if you lose a phone and you have to replace it, that automatically, you maybe it's the first 20% you have to pay for yourself before they pay the rest. That there's, that basically private health insurance now is working on the same basis as other health insurance. You get a proportion, not 100% of most things.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the way it's turned. And it's happened very quickly. It's happened very recently. You know, they have been tricking around with the, with what you get on various plans and introducing different plans. But this is a new sinister development that's happened very recently. So look at, so I asked all of the health insurance, why are you doing this? This seems incredibly unfair. You're increasing what you're asking people to pay, but you're giving them back far less. Now, that's fine. You can, you know, it's not a big deal if it's a grocery, if it's a small jar of sauce or something, and, you know, they're giving you less and they're charging you a bit more. It's not a big deal. We're talking about a big expenditure here. We're talking about your health. This is very important. And what they're saying is, look, we're offering choice. There are different plans there. We do point it out to you when we change the benefits. And essentially, look at what's happening here, Matt, is there's a hell of a lot more claims going through. The private hospitals and clinics are a lot more efficient now at getting people in for a procedure and getting them out quickly. So they're able to do an awful lot more procedures. So people are going, you know, they're going in to have outpatient procedures done and overnight procedures. And there's huge increase in the claims that the insurers are paying out. So they have a choice here. They either hugely, hugely, even more than they are doing, increase your premium, or else they increase your premium a bit and they cut the benefits. And at the moment, that's what they're doing, hoping that you don't notice that the benefits are being cut back by having multiple small single-digit percentage increases.
Okay, let's move on to other things. We were talking there in recent weeks about the price of a barrel of oil falling and how long would it take for that to actually filter through into petrol and diesel prices in Ireland. Have they been falling?
Well, they have a bit, I think, to be fair now. I must say I've noticed a bit in the last few days. They've started to slowly fall. But what is interesting, Matt, is the amount of tax that the state is now taking from your petrol and diesel, as you mentioned, but also your electricity, your gas, your home heating oil. You know, a lot of that is VAT, some of it's carbon tax. It has topped 4 billion euros for the first time, which is an extraordinary amount of money. And this is for essential stuff like heating your home, for cooking, for driving a car, because, you know, so many people are car dependent. 4 billion euros. It seems like an excessive amount of money. Now, a billion euros of that is carbon tax. It's hit a billion euros. It's up 457 million in the last 4 years.
That's added into the price of your petrol or diesel at the pumps, or does that include the carbon tax that's put onto the fuel bills for your home heating?
It's all of those, Matt. We're talking here, the carbon tax that goes on your petrol and diesel usually goes on, the increase goes on after the budget, usually on budget night. We're talking here your electricity and gas bills, your home heating oil, coal or briquettes, that carbon tax, all of that's taking in now about a billion euros in, and it drives people insane. There's a rationale for it, is to try and discourage the use of, you know, carbon emitting fuels, whatever, but it's very expensive for people. And then VAT. The VAT is around the same as well. It's a billion euros as well. That's the third year in a row that it's over a billion euros. So hell of a lot of tax being paid here by people for energy. And you've got a question, is that fair? Because, you know, we did have a temporary reduction in the VAT on your electricity bills there for a while. That's gone now. It'll be extended for a bit, but it's due to go. Is it fair that we have to pay so much in tax for fuel? You know, fuels are essential. Between 2021 and last year, the the amount that government is taking in fuel taxes is up about 700 million euros. So it's a hell of a lot, Matt. I think they could consider maybe reducing some of this. This is a tax on essential stuff that we have to have. We've no choice in a lot of this.
Of course, the price of a barrel goes up and down. So VAT at 23% is part of the price. But the excise level is fixed, isn't it? Almost irrespective of whether the price of a barrel of oil has fallen.
It is, and this is why almost half of what you pay for...
More than half, I think, isn't it?
It's more than half a time, yeah, depending, you know, 60%, up to 60%. More than half of what you're paying for your litre of petrol or diesel is going in VAT, excise duties and various other levies. There's about five different taxes and impositions from the government on it. So, you know, very, very heavily taxed. One of the most highest taxes on fuels in Europe. I think there needs to be a consideration of this because it feeds through into everything.
Okay.
It's not just your car. It's your transport costs. It's a whole range of things, Matt.
ICS Mortgages is launching a 2-year interest-only mortgage for home buyers and switchers. Tell us about this.
Yeah, Matt, we haven't seen an interest-only mortgage since the Celtic Tiger years, and a lot of people got into trouble with them. You know, they took out these jumbo mortgages. They didn't pay back on the principal. They just paid back on the interest. And then, you know, suddenly their house value collapsed and they found themselves in trouble. Maybe lost their job or their earnings went way down. And then he struggled even to pay the interest, and they never got back on track at the agreed time to go back to, you know, to go from paying just interest only to capital and interest. But anyway, ICS Mortgages, which is part of Dillisk, it's a non-bank lender, if you like. They've introduced a new thing called 2-year interest-only period on the mortgage. When you take it out, or when you switch to them, or if you move house and you use their mortgage, or you're a first-time buyer, you can opt for a 2-year interest-only fixed rate. Now, it's a fixed rate, so it's 4.25 for if you have 60% loan-to-value or less. And, you know, you don't pay any interest. It just builds up for 2 years. It's a way, helping you cope at the start of a mortgage, particularly for, they expect it to be popular with first-time buyers. You take a customer borrowing 250 grand, Matt, 30-year term, they'd pay about 1,200 euros per month on capital and interest. But if they opt for this interest only for 2 years, it's about 880 euros. So it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
No, they'll end up paying the capital back.
You would pay it over time.
Over time.
Near the end of the mortgage. No, but
you're extending the life of your mortgage effectively, aren't you?
You are, really. And look, it's just to get you over the hump of that start. You might be only starting in your career. You might be on a low grade in your job. And the idea is, you know, later in life, when things improve financially, you'd be able to just get on top of that. So it's a very interesting option. These non-bank lenders have to go for kind of niche products because they're not able to compete on rates. They're not terribly competitive, unfortunately.
Thank you very much, Charlie Weston, personal finance editor of the Irish Independent.
The Last Word on Today FM.